guys. Welcome to the Big Blue United podcast. My name is TJ. I'm here with Dan and Colin. I'm here to talk some NFL draft and whatever else is going on in the universe. What's up with you guys? How you been?
Good.
My world is the draft. That's all I do.
That's it?
Yep.
You've disowned your kids, divorced your wife, and devoted all your time to worshiping Mel Kiper?
Oh,
you
have no.
Are you going to get the hair?
I'm the anti-Mel Kiper.
Anti-Mel Kiper, sorry.
In order to take his monopoly over the thing down, I needed to divorce myself from my family and dedicate all my time
to
the draft.
I think Mel is fully off. He's off. I don't even consider him in this whole scheme anymore. I don't think his opinion matters.
Mm.
I'd love to see like what like his percentage of like correct picks was, or like, you know, either or guys who developed into being like decent players that he liked. It's probably pretty small, but I'd imagine most people who predict draft stuff that really don't know anything. Even the guys who get paid, you know, millions of dollars a year to draft the guys don't really even know what they're doing.
Yeah. I think Mel Kiper just had like first mover advantage, and he was like the first, you know, analyst guy that just studied the draft to do it 30 years ago. And he looked crazy. And they're like, sure, you can come on.
Yeah. What?
And now they have a lot of people that do it.
Why hasn't he had like sponsorships from like Aquanet or whatever he uses in his hair?
Yeah. What does he use? It's probably like some old school spray.
Probably some something about Mary stuff.
Exactly. But speaking of sponsorships, guys, don't forget to check out butcherbox.com for all your meat needs. Meat needs? What's like a better way to say that? We're not actually. No, I'm just like we don't need to do Butcher Box again. We've done them so many times, but you know,
we just like
for lack of a sponsor, I like to say, you know, order some meat. Do you think Michael Penix orders meat?
Would it be called animal byproducts or animal meats, animal foods?
I don't know.
All meats are animal meats unless you get.
This is the worst. This is the worst promo that was ever done in a podcast of all time. Anyway, don't forget to follow Ian at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Big Blue United. You follow us on Twitter at BBU Pod with a Z, just to make sure you know when the new podcasts are coming out. Before we go draft, guys, let's talk a little news here. We signed a couple guys. Maybe you want to touch on Darren Waller, Drew Lock for a second. In terms of the signings, we got halfback Dante Miller, wide receiver Miles Boykin, who I thought was an NBA player, but he's tall enough to be an NBA player, but he's just a bad wide receiver. And then obviously we re-signed Isaiah Simmons, which I think all of us are happy about. Any thoughts on these moves at all? Anything, you know, glaring at you?
I think Colin and I probably really liked Miles Boykin 6 years ago or whatever when he was at Notre Dame. And wasn't, I guess he probably went in the second round. He didn't go in the first round,
third.
But he was
third.
He went in the third. That was probably the biggest red flag because his measurables were insane, right?
Yeah. I mean, hey, 38 catches in six seasons. That's something to really be excited about.
Yeah.
Slow and steady.
I think he's had five catches in the last three seasons or something like that.
Oh man.
My guess is they needed a tall guy to play wide receiver in training camp. So that's why he's on the team.
Maybe he could be like a gunner. Kickoff or something. That doesn't matter anymore.
I think he'll probably be unemployed, I guess.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I am really happy about the Isaiah Simmons thing. I think he's going to do better in this defense. That's more a traditional defense. And I like to see, you know, him kind of develop into a one position player instead of sort of being the Wink Martindale, you know, put him everywhere. And, you know, he's not an every down guy. He's not even, you know, every series guy necessarily. I think he's got a lot of talent. I know we liked him when he came out. We liked him on the team last year. So I hope, you know, he develops into something instead of just some amorphous defensive player.
Well, that one tweet from Art Stapleton that I sent to you guys was very interesting because it's not even really something I thought of prior to reading that, of the idea that, is it possible he could be considered a safety as a primary position, which is kind of sweet to think about because I mentioned likening him to like Deion Grant on steroids of 10 years ago when we had him in the last Super Bowl run as that third safety as kind of like a linebacker safety hybrid kind of thing. I mean, that screams him, especially covering any tight end over the middle, which we've been inept to do for the last 35 years. So, it would be kind of cool to have someone to do that. Also, Dan, not to go back to what we were just talking about, but we already have a gunner on the special teams.
His name's Gunner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Yeah.
The safety concept for the safety concept for Simmons is interesting. I guess who would be like the only analogy for someone that big playing safety, like Kyle Hamilton on the Ravens, yeah. But he's way more. He's probably more, athletic.
I
mean, and
Simmons is athletic. I just think Hamilton's more refined. Yeah.
I can't imagine Simmons being able to like open his hips and, you know, like have that quick twitch stuff to the
honestly,
same level.
You know where I want to see him? I want to see him off the edge.
Player.
Yeah. Send him off the edge.
Or just put him that, you know, like a monster back.
At least he's a pass rusher. Yeah. Something like that. I think we all agree it's a good sounding. Good to bring this guy back. Hyper athletic. Yeah.
I mean, definitely more of the linebacker edge of the safety linebacker kind of pairing,
box safety, sure. Not necessarily coverage sort of guy. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think I think you're right, Dan, about, you know, his coverage skills are probably not what you'd look for in a modern NFL safety, but he does have some skills, you know, in the run game from that position. Not that really, that's super important anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, the last guy, Dante Miller, halfback. I honestly know nothing about him. Saquon's gone. Colin, tell us about Dante Miller.
Well, I mean, from what I gather, I mean, he had a really tough upbringing. Like he was what?
How about as a football player?
No, we don't want to. I want to start from because it builds up to it. I mean, he just like had it really hard. He was in and out of foster homes. Like it was a bad scene. If you want to read up on him, you can. But it really developed him as a person and as a player. And I think it goes to show, you know, hard work can pay off to people who don't have everything handed to them growing up. And, you know, he's a smart dude. He went to Columbia. He was there for a couple of seasons or so, and then he still had an eligibility, so he went to South Carolina, and he didn't really play a lot. He probably could have, but there was, you know, fate kind of goes one way or the other, and he barely had any carries. But his physical, I mean, attributes are insane. He ran a 4.27 at the pro day. I think he had the most reps on the bench for running back in,
his height and weight?
It's 5'10", 210 or something like that.
That nice chode build is great for running back.
I mean, 4.27 straight ahead running. I mean, just kind of, here's the biggest thing that I read.
And he's never played in the NFL, right? But he's not a rookie, but he's a free agent. Like what?
It's one of those cool loopholes where because he wasn't considered for the draft because of some weird, I don't know, I forgot what the rule was. The fact that he didn't get enough carries or something like that. It's something to do with his lack of red shirt situation. It was very convoluted. I'd have to read it again, but because of that, he's able to sign early, and he probably has an agent that was just like, you're not going to get drafted. You might as well get on a team now. And a bunch of teams were talking to him too. So what I think is very interesting about this signing is not so much him as a running back, but because of the kickoff changing its rules to this new setup of the 10 yards from each team facing each other when it actually starts, he's fast as hell and he's a running back. Let him be a running back out there, basically. I mean, hopefully he can catch. It's worth a shot, you know?
Interesting. That'd be cool. Yeah, I guess you're right, man. I guess I didn't really think about how it becomes more of like a running back position as a kick returner
kind of
at this point. Cause you're basically, you know, rushing through blockers, making a lane for you with dudes right in front of your face.
Like you need to be less of the typical kick returner of yesteryear. Like you just need to be able to catch the ball. And then anything else is like, I don't know. You basically can have a different build and a different style to play this position now.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't really think about that. Let's move on. Darren Waller, I just want to say the one quote. Someone asked him if he would let the Giants know if he's going to retire before the draft. His response, that would be ideal, but I also don't want to put that on myself. Thoughts?
What a baby. If he cared about anybody but himself, which I doubt he does, he would just, you know, bow out. If you have one foot out the league and thinking about it, get the hell out.
Yeah. Shows lack of character, in my opinion. But yeah, it's not what you want to hear as a fan. Just no. I guess it also helps that no one really wants him back. So everyone is ultra
get on his case. You can't say you don't want him back. The Giants are better with him on the team despite his injuries. I mean, I'd rather have him on the team than not. We did spend a third round pick to get him. So if we can get 2 years out of him, I think that's worth something to me. I do hope he comes back. I do think he will come back. But Colin, I do have to sort of agree that.
Do you think he's waiting to see who quarterback is?
Maybe.
I don't know, man. He might. He doesn't have that Strahan, sort of luxury that we gave Strahan his last year where he didn't go to training camp. You know, Darren Waller's not a guy that we revere or anything like that, but he is the best tight end on the roster at the current moment.
Speaking of waiting to see what the quarterback situation is going to be, did you guys see just a little bit of a segue here? What Malik Nabers said about talking to the Giants?
Yeah.
No.
You say it, Colin.
Basically, he was just like, oh yeah, I mean, I like talking to them. They're great to talk scheme and stuff like that. I'm paraphrasing, of course, in so many words. But they probably should have a quarterback that can throw to me.
Did he actually really say that?
He's like, he said something to that effect. And he's like, and I know they're gonna figure it out. I trust them to make sure they have someone that can get me the ball.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion, not wrong. Man. Yeah, it's obvious.
I mean, I know. I did read that there's some character concerns with him, but whatever. I don't. Wide receivers are all like this. I don't really put too much vest too much interest into the diva wide receiver thing because there's been a million dudes who've had great careers who've had mild character issues coming out of the draft, and dudes like T.O. who are just absolutely batshit fucking crazy who have had great careers.
Yeah,
I had a wide receiver question for the draft for you guys. Actually, we'll probably get into it in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. Last thing I want to talk about is Drew Lock, just because I guess his contract was underreported. 1 year, $5 million, could be $8 million based on playing time. Do you think this predicates, what the training camp battle might look like?
Yes, I think that is. I'm very happy that info came out now and not after the draft because it's just. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, but it's very interesting. To know that it wasn't just such a cut and dry deal of just here you go, cheap deal, prove it. Really interesting that it almost identically mirrors Tyrod's deal when he was with us and when he was he's with the Jets. So that's kind of interesting to me.
I think it clearly shows that the Giant brought more to the bargaining table than we might have thought previously, which would mean that they made it clear to him to Drew Lock, who had other options, that he was going to have a real chance to make that incentive real by playing.
Absolutely.
So I think, so a lot of times they say it's, open competition, start a training camp, but everyone knows who's going to be the starters. I think this is a true, if Daniel Jones can even practice, which who knows what his capacity would be, but it's a true open slot on the team, which is pretty cool.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, without bringing a quarterback in from the draft, it's exciting to know that they're actually treating it like a competition.
Yeah.
What if Daniel Jones can't start? Drew Lock has to start the season and he plays well. Does Daniel Jones ever get back in?
No.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, obviously that's where we stand, but I guess thinking taking a step back, no, I don't think so. I mean, it would have been interesting to see if they put.
Yeah, no, but taking a step back, no.
Well, take a step back, but no as well.
Yeah, no, no. Bottom line, no. But what would have happened if he got healthy in time this season, and say Tyrod didn't get injured, and Tyrod is playing at his level?
I think last year they still would have let him play.
They would have put bench Tyrod.
They would have let Jones play. Yeah. Mm. Because they just signed into that deal. They just came off the playoff win. I think last year you had to let Jones play. I think next year the less he plays, the better.
Which is kind of a bummer in the fact that it would take, in this case, a severe injury for them to basically be like, all right, we have to move on. I almost would have rathered him continue to play and play absolute dog shit for all of the season. to really drive it home that they wanted to go somewhere else, you know?
Agreed.
But, yeah, you want to like be able to tell those Daniel Jones stands like,
yeah. Ooh, it's not even about Daniel Jones, it's about those guys.
He never got a shot, man. And he's not, they let him go. They never even had a shot.
No one gave him ever any weapons. He never had any weapons.
Yeah, what kind of line has he had for the last 6 years, man? Which is true, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, whatever. A lot of people have bad lines and still good quarterbacks. Let's jump into the draft, guys. Let's just talk about the first three picks this week. We'll do the remainder of the draft in a future pod. I want to know, guys, basically, we're going to talk quarterback. Let's talk first round pick, number six. I really want to know, like, what is, in your opinion, the best case scenario, what you think will actually happen, and what the worst case scenario for you would be. Either you guys want to start. I'm just curious what your thoughts are there.
I think what, all right, there's two ways of looking at it. What I absolutely want to happen and what I actually think is going to happen are different in this case. I would be so damn surprised if we actually traded up to three or four. I really would. As much as I think that's a great call and like they could probably do it and not lose a ridiculous amount of.
What do you think that would take?
I mean, definitely two first starters. Mm-hmm. This year and next year, and then likely, and this all depends on whether or not whoever we trade, whether it's Patriots or Arizona, if they are okay with picks from this draft or next year's draft. Because honestly, kick it down the road, I'd be okay giving them a first this year, first next year, and maybe like a second and a fourth next year.
I can see that being reasonable. Yeah,
I think that is kind of, which, you know, all, if you think about it, it's not that bad to move up to like your forever quarterback, if you will.
Yeah.
Like that, you know.
I would be fine with that, especially if it's next year's second, because I do think, I guess the trend is that there's been a lot more viable wide receivers in the past few years. But I do think there's a lot of nice receivers available in the second round this year. And it'd be great to pair them with a quarterback if we're drafting a quarterback this year. So if they would take next year's second, that'd be ideal. I do think they might have to offer this year's second, this year's first, this year's second, next year's first, but that should get you to three.
Yeah.
If the Pats are cool with Jacoby Brissett, like that's a nice haul for them staying at three or moving off three to six. They're still going to have their choice of wide receiver.
I still think we're staying at six. Ultimately,
I'm just saying who, you know, if you're at three and the first two picks are Caleb, obviously, and then Drake May goes before Jaden Daniels, do you want to move up to three for Jaden Daniels? Because personally, I like Drake May better. I mean, I like them both, but is there a particular guy you like more that, like, if one of them's off the board, you wouldn't want to trade up to 3-4 or either those guys, like, kind of 1A, 1B for you after Williams, or I should say 2A, 2B?
I they're right together for me personally.
Jaden and Drake are
I'd interchange them and be okay with whoever.
I would zero hesitation trade up for Drake May. I think that's a slam dunk. There's just a lot of different stuff about Jaden Daniels that makes me less certain about him. Besides the physical, you know, slightness. I mean, we can get into it. I guess now's not a perfect time, but you know, he played on a stacked team that year. The wide receivers on that team, both Thomas and Neighbors. The offensive line was one of the best offensive lines in the SEC. And it was his fifth season. His previous years of production, no one really talks about, but they were nothing near these insane numbers he put up this season. Not to say that that's not relevant and important. But people that know more than me, they look at his skills. He's obviously got the X factor of being fast, but some of the true quarterbacking skills, people don't seem that high on. He does things, some things great, but I think the upside of the raw talent of Drake May, it makes it a no-brainer. Jaden Daniels, it's a little less, but I mean, I guess ultimately if it's up to me, I want a quarterback so bad, I wouldn't be upset if they did it.
The reason that I'm cool with 1 and 1A with both of them is the Dable factor.
2 and 2A. Yeah. Like if Dable believes in him, then you're like, oh, if Dable sees something in him, then like that's exciting, because especially
exactly like if this was game. 2018 and we're staring Daniel Jones's dumb face in our own faces. No, I wouldn't like, and if it was a similar scenario, I would not think this way at all. But because I feel like there's not leeway, but like you have such a smart and skillful quarterback developer in Daboll that you can take the lesser qualities of a 2B or 2A rather, and you know, look at them at the same line. I mean, that's putting a lot of faith in Daboll, but I feel like I really want to see him develop someone for us. And that's why I've been also entertaining the idea of waiting until later in the draft too, because you know, it's not ideal. I don't want that, but if the pieces fall as they will, and you end up going with a Penix in two, or you know, Spencer Rattler or whatever, it's on the table. When in the past it wouldn't be at all.
The Tommy DeVito factor. If you could do with Tommy DeVito, what we could do with a guy with actual first second round skill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I want to know what's your opinion on JJ McCarthy. Oh, I could tell you about my little thing here. I'm kind of with you, Dan. To me, Jaden Daniels has a. I'm actually kind of in between what you guys both said, just because I am a big Drake May fan. I think Drake May fits in with the Giants, and I think he'd be, you know, has all the measurables and to me, the mental acuity, more importantly, to be an NFL quarterback. Jaden Daniels, I think, has those things too. I do agree with you, Dan, that there is a bit of an X factor with him, but on the other side, what Colin said, I do think Daboll, what he did with Josh Allen, they do have similar skill sets. Josh Allen's a bit of a bigger guy, but they do, you know, have the same, some of the similar tendencies, I should say. If Drake May's there at three, I trade up. If Jaden Daniels is there at three, I'm not sure if I trade up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I do it or not, but I do want to ask you guys about JJ McCarthy. If you're at six and he's available, do you take him or no?
So you said earlier today that you wouldn't at six. I
would not.
I would. I think I would, just because I don't know. You know that Daboll and Shane are looking for their quarterback in this draft. And if he's on the list of what they can mold into their quarterback, they're kind of feeling like they're sitting pretty and they didn't even have to move or lose any draft capital at all. And you can just get your, not necessarily day one starter, but possibly. So would it be my favorite thing in the world? No. Would I hate it? Absolutely not.
Yeah, would it be my favorite? Wouldn't hate it. If they did it, I would get very excited to see what they do with him. I similarly to Colin, like it's the, I feel like such a homer doing it, but it's the Daboll factor, because we all really buy in that he's such a QB guru and is able to understand what he's got and how to get the most out of him. And the thing with JJ McCarthy is everything you hear about him is basically, how amazing is it, everything but throwing in his college career, because there's not much to talk about. So it's his leadership. It's his way he processes. It's all the stuff that us as novices, at least, can't discern or won't understand. So, you know, not ecstatic. It's not like getting Drake May at six, but I would be, the upside is there for him as well. You know, he's got the three cone drill at the combine was interesting. He ran it, I think, like third fastest or fourth fastest in the combine. He's shown athletic ability. He's shown the ability to throw over the middle, which a lot of quarterbacks this draft haven't. And he's shown the guts to make some dangerous throws when he does. It's just his ability to do that at a higher volume, which we have not seen.
And not to mention the fact that because he's been talked up like crazy, you know that there are going to be teams that want him and will offer us.
It would be hilarious, though, if this was just a unified, just big smoke screen that like everyone's piling on. Harbaugh was so like so into him. And then all the other coaches are just like, yeah, we'll just boost this guy's value like crazy. And no one's going to draft him in the first round.
I mean, well, that's what I mean.
Do you think there's a chance Penix gets drafted before JJ McCarthy?
No. Only because of the injury history that we talked about. I don't know.
I've seen rankings where Penix is ranked above McCarthy and Nick. Yeah. So I think actually we'll both get picked before Penix, but
yeah. Bo Nix, I'm so out on, and people still bring him up as like a like get him at the
level. Well, thank you, Dan. Tell me right now why you're out on him. Just and this is just because I want to know your answer.
Oh, I mean, it would be amalgamation of anything I've heard from like the four different draft podcasts I listen to about what those guys that have been watching tape have said. to me, he's not. He's probably a nice backup quarterback in the league. That can win you stuff spots. I think he's successful in a very specific system. Everyone said that he needs to play like in a Shanahan style offense and sort of dip and dunk here and there. It's fine. He's probably like a game manager type. He doesn't have a huge arm. I don't know about his athletic ability. I don't think it's too incredible, but I'd rather a more dynamic game changing quarterback that can beat ultimately someone like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. I don't think Bo Nix is ever going to be a quarterback that is going to elevate your team to that level. He's going to be a piece that just doesn't drop the ball.
And this is why I'm sort of out on Mel Kiper right now, because his latest mock draft has
that one made me sick.
Neighbors at six and then trading back into the first for Bo Nix, which is like, no, guy, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it at all.
I'd rather Joe Milton.
One more question about the first. I was gonna say I'll surprise you guys with my second round choice here, but before I move on to the second round or later, guys, in Phoenix, you're sitting at six.
We got to talk about other options. Yeah.
Wait. Well, I'm saying we're officially calling him Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Just say Penix, please.
No, I like Phoenix.
come on, what are the chances? Imagine he comes on the Giants.
You're sitting at pick six. JJ McCarthy and Marvin Harrison Jr. are both on the board. Who do you pick?
That's really hard.
I'm going wide receiver in this situation.
I don't think that's what Dable would want to do.
I think without knowing their conviction, I do think there's a lot to the storyline of if they draft a quarterback that buys them another 3 years at least. Unless their relationship with Mara is so good. I mean, I guess no one can be mad at them for drafting Marvin Harrison Jr., but it doesn't, I guess it, then they have to be a 500 team immediately with Drew Lock as their quarterback. It's not an easy road.
This scenario right here is exactly how you trade back into the first and get Penix. That's how that happens right there.
I just can't see a scenario when you have best player available, maybe the second best, first best player, or the best player in the entire draft, you know, on a big board. And it's a huge need. Best player available at a huge need at number six, a guy that you're going to have on your team for a decade. And he's going to perform at a high level. And I think, you know, there's obviously nothing, you know, that's like a can't miss pick, but
I wouldn't be mad about it. That's for sure.
If anything close to it, it's this. I mean, I don't think you can ignore that.
It's my personal desire to get away from Daniel Jones as far as possible is what's really driving the confusion. I mean, getting Marvin Harrison Jr. With the sixth pick is amazing. And this brings me to another question, though. There's a lot of talk this year about how great these three wide receivers are, Dunze, Neighbors, and Harrison Jr. And maybe like the gap isn't as great between them as you think. And it's, you know, some people have Neighbors over Marvin and Harrison, even Adunze occasionally I've seen. So essentially like saying they are all equally good. Everyone's also identified they're good in different ways. Just from a curiosity standpoint, which saying they're all equally good, which player's style or skill set do you guys prefer, you know, in a world where, you know, it's not like Marvin Harrison Jr. has been the most talked about wide receiver in forever and has like the best numbers ever. So what's the most exciting or fun kind of wide receiver you guys want?
Honestly, I just like Harrison more because he's 6'4" and Neighbors is 6 feet. I just think they have, you know, similar skills. They're both, in my opinion, you know, one of the better wide receiver prospects to come out in the last few years. I think they're both going to be successful. In my mind, I'd rather have the taller guy. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
You'd
rather like a Plexico Burris style versus a, I don't know, Odell Beckham style.
I think there's plenty of guys that are on the smaller side on the Giants that can perform. You know, I love Wandale. I think Jalin Hyatt is, you know, not I don't smaller. Think
6 feet but, you know, small for wide receiver.
No.
Yeah, I mean, not. But you know, 6'4". I mean, when you look at some of the cornerbacks coming out now, you know, a guy I love in the second round, TJ Tampa, 6'2". I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Tampa Junior
Tampa. The height. Tampa. the speed, height, route running. You run every route. The lineage. I just love the guy. I love Neighbors too, but I think Harrison Jr. is the best.
Well, I mean, the question wasn't so much which one would you choose. It's like, which style do you like the best? So basically I would say I like Neighbors the best because he has the separation and the after catch stuff. And I feel like that's like just super exciting. And like, that's my favorite thing to watch in the NFL is those guys that get the ball in their hand and then like wild stuff happens. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like Kadarius Toney had a better draft rating than Malik Neighbors did based upon the factors you just indicated.
I still think Kadarius Toney is one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. He's just insane.
Sure. I mean, I'd rather have a guy who's going to, you know, have a higher contested catch rate, especially considering going into contested the season. Catches. Well, Harrison's better. I looked it up in PFF. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, they're different styles.
I'm just saying, with the quarterback play, I think on the Giants, you need someone who has a wingspan and is a little better at the contested catches.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I mean, considering who is in the quarterback room right now with their ineptitude of accurate passing as a go-to, I mean, yes, that certainly makes sense. I think there's like an in-between. Like you said, Dan.
Which would be Adunze.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah. He is exactly in between. And I wouldn't be opposed to him either. I mean, let's talk about him as well. He's fast as, and he's what, he's 6'2", 210? Yeah. Like, he's literally in between.
And based on that chart we saw, the passing chart
of Penix?
Of Penix, it shows that Penix? He bailed him out a lot this season, and he's good at bailing out bad quarterbacking, which is something we most likely will have next year.
Always.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
just interesting. I just love the variety of elite tier quarter running wide receivers that are going to go in the top 10 picks.
I mean, it's hard to ignore the fact that we really, truly never replaced Plexico, and Marvin would be the closest thing to that. I mean, granted, Plex was 6'5", and even like more of a wingspan of anybody, I feel like, ever catching the ball in the NFL. But like, yeah,
Harrison's got to be, he's a little faster though now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's definitely more.
I thought Hakeem Nicks was great, by the way. I don't know. I feel like people sleep on Hakeem Nicks. He's a different wide receiver than Plexico.
He was 6'4".
Clearly, but he took the top off defenses and made big plays time and time. I just never understood why his career was so short.
Foot injuries.
I know, but it was foot. It wasn't like a knee or an Achilles or.
I don't know. A lot of tread.
So weird. Yeah. So weird.
But I mean, yeah, I think.
All right. But before moving on from the first round, my last question would be, is there any other position besides quarterback or wide receiver they take in the first with their first pick at 6 that you wouldn't like jump off a cliff for?
No.
Or like because they did?
No.
Well, I mean, it's.
I'm sort of with you, TJ.
We're kind of looking at just positions at this point. We're like, going to get either the first or second best player in the draft at a position at 6.
Right. But like, what if they just, you know, even if. I mean, one of those wide receivers on the board or J.J. McCarthy or something was still available, and then they took Joe Alt.
I'm going to take the forever hate nap if they take Joe Alt.
So would you call up – why am I blanking on his name right now? He was on our team last year. He was formerly on our team, and I took the first hate nap ever.
Justin Pugh?
Yeah.
The first hate nap ever.
It was the first hate nap I ever took.
Justin Pugh was the first hate nap. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
for the pick.
We picked him and I instantly made myself go to sleep.
Amazing.
I can't go through life if the Giants don't pick something impactful. I understand that the offensive line is a big thing. We just spent a lot of money in free agency on it and we've invested too many draft picks in it. I can't possibly live another day. If the Giants draft Joe Alt at 6.
Well,
however, if we trade down, I can trade down. We can trade down.
Yeah. One quick sidebar. Instead of, you know, when someone pisses you off or disrespects you, instead of saying, oh, I'm just going to go kill myself, you should go say, I'm just going to go make myself fall asleep.
Yeah.
That should be the new PC way. The new, you know, woke way to say it, just gonna make myself fall asleep forever.
I'm gonna go put myself down.
I'm gonna put myself down. What? I'm gonna take a nap.
So would you still, here's a good question too, in the same vein, because it makes no sense. I mean, it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. In the same vein as Joe Alt, what if it was Brock Bowers? At six. Yep.
I think I'd don't even say this shit, man.
Like, yeah. I'm getting depressed. When
you say.
Well, no, because like you need to let that sneak into your heart right now because we've been disappointed a lot.
It's never-ending disappointment, really.
Well, Brock Bowers, with the news of Waller being an absolute twat waffle, it's possible that, you know, this is a best player available, depending on what happens with the first five picks. No trades. No one's offering us anything. And Joe just pulls the trigger on that, and all of a sudden we have a tight end in the first round.
I mean, I think that's a Dave Gettleman move. I think we would get out of it. I don't think we. That's what telling myself. Scared. That's my internal story. Yeah.
Do you remember last year when they were talking about running, you know, sort of like the Kansas City style offense where you have some smaller wide receivers and like, you know, that big play sort of tight end? You know, the scary part is that I could almost see this happening, and it would be very painful to me, Colin. I don't want to see it. I don't want it to happen.
There is no scenario where all three wide receivers and all four quarterbacks will be gone before it gets to our
pick. That's true. That's exactly right. And that's why we don't have to talk about this right now.
Anyway, we spent a lot of time talking about the first pick. Maybe we'll just finish up with the second pick and call it a night.
Before we go to the second pick, I got one mock going up and we could just do it real quick. I'll ask you guys. It went. So it's sort of a weird one, but it went Drake May first, Caleb, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Brock Bowers. So Jaden Daniels, Joe Alt, JJ McCarthy, Roma Dunze.
Yeah, Daniels. Yeah. It would have to be Daniels.
I'll tell you what's available now at two, if you want. Okay. Just to give you the ideas of names of players, then we could have the wide-ranging conversation. But this is the kind of stuff I think we typically see. Darius Robinson from Missouri, Zach Frazier. Yeah. Tavondre Sweat's here, but I'm sure he's dropping down boards right now.
Yeah.
What's up with him? Like, you know, I saw he's, you know, had the best year of any defensive interior in college football last year, and he seems to be falling to like the fourth round. Did he do something stupid?
DWI.
Yeah.
Like
twice over legal limit or something.
You know, I like drinking. I like drinking too, you know, get him on the squad. What's the
deal? You know, it's funny in my head. I thought it's more dangerous that he's DWIing because of how huge he is. Like he's more dangerous in the car because he's 6'4", 365 pounds. I was like, oh man, like no one should drink and drive, but he's so big. He definitely should.
Yeah. I mean, there's more of a chance of him killing somebody.
If he doesn't wear a seatbelt, he'll go through the windshield, go through the other person's windshield and just spear them. Exactly.
No cars hit each other at all. Yeah. He kills somebody himself.
He like hits a tree and his body flies out. Gets some poor pedestrian on the side of the road.
Yeah. Oh, that's not funny.
I mean, it is.
Yeah, it is very funny.
I think the thing that's exciting about him is that he's 6'4", 365, and they say he can rush the passer from the inside, which is...
Him and Dexy, man.
The boner jams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think the Giants necessarily need a guy like that next to Dexter. I think they need, you know, could just go with a big block who's going to take up space. But
I'm into stacking strengths. Like yeah.
Dude, I'm with you. That's how the Giants won Super Bowls, was stacking the defensive line. I'm all for it all the time.
Here's a question for you. Do you think in this draft in particular, whoever is drafted in the first round will directly impact who they go for in the second round? I know that you don't think that happens, but I feel like it's possible this draft.
Well, yeah, if they're still trying to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be my only thing. If they're going to go Penix I've seen Rattler go in the second. I don't know if that's necessarily the spot where I wouldn't see him going. Yeah. You know, I think in the second round, Penix is a possibility. I wouldn't be upset if they did it. I know you guys think I'm high on him. I'm actually a little bit higher on Joe Milton from Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, those are
Joe
those
Milton in what round?
Wild.
Well, third round. I mean, Joe Milton is that fourth perfect round scenario of Dable just having a field day.
That's
with
it, Colin. That's it. Anyway, but let's not jump ahead.
Yeah.
I think if Penix is there, I might take him. And I know that him being 24 is rough. His injury history is rough. I just think, you know, when it comes down to it, like the film is good. And when I say that, I mean the stuff that I've watched on YouTube or highlights in ESPN and stuff like that. I know Dan shared a passing chart with us today where Penix, you know, can't really throw over the middle. He's got some problem areas. I know that his accuracy, you know, isn't the best in the NFL, or I'm sorry, the best in college football. But I just think that he has those intangibles that we were discussing before that I think you take a flyer on a second round pick for a guy like that, and I would do it.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll last the second round though, but
yeah,
I think there's plenty
as
of other
as a second round pick, he becomes more interesting from the same qualifying factors we gave the other quarterbacks is if they believe enough with Dable believes enough in him to take a second round pick on him, I'm interested to see what he's doing because his skill set is so much better than what we get to see him do with Tommy DeVito and an old Tyrod Taylor.
The inversion of this scenario is we get a quarterback at six, someone who we really, really want. Do you think that means wide receiver in the second?
I would try to. I would try to get, given where the talent lies in this draft, I think every team, sort of regardless of needs, should be trying to get a wide receiver or an offensive lineman within the first three rounds of this draft.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
And especially our team, because we need both. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be against getting someone on defense. Yeah. Me too. I love Keon Coleman there.
I'd want someone big. He's 6'4", 215. Troy Franklin, I think, is another guy there from Oregon, 6'3", 187. I know Xavier Worthy is another guy that's talked about there.
Yeah.
I would be happy, you know, I'd be happy doubling up on wide receiver if we did. Like, we need it that bad. I'm okay with
you
it.
You know, I mean, I just in the last, like, week or so of, like, powering through mock drafts, I've really gotten high on Malachi Corley.
Yeah, but he's more of a project piece.
I know. I don't know. He screams like an Anquan Boldin kind of situation to me. And I love that idea. The kind of, you know, Debo Samuel archetype.
Yeah.
But you know,
yeah, I mean, for sure that's what he could be, but I think it'd be again, exciting to have him, but there's some more sure bets like sure. Jalen Polk.
Yeah.
I think I might even rather take a shot on Xavier Leggett than Malachi Corley. Roman Wilson is more of a polished product. Mm-hmm. But they're also interesting and there's a lot of them. That's why I think.
I know. I don't think I remember a draft ever being this deep.
Yeah.
So deep.
When does Keon Coleman went 33rd in this one. Mm. I'm with TJ though. I would be super stoked to have him. That slow 40 time might have tanked his stock a little bit, even though I think most people look at his production at Florida State.
What was it?
It was like 4.56 or 4.58.
Oh, God. Like, it's not that slow.
I think. Or maybe it was even slower. But he was supposed to run a fast one. But then he like did every other drill incredible.
Yeah. Sometimes game tape is all that really, really matters.
Yeah, 4.61. Yeah,
Let's say you know,
4.61
other than quarterback, wide receiver seems to be like our number one, number two sort of agreement so far. What else? I know, you know, cornerback, defensive interior, edge rusher. There's probably going to be a couple guys at the, you know, top of the second round, or I guess we're a little bit lower than top, but
every
I'm
time
all about Tampa,
I was
Tampa is my number one for the second round.
So every time I was tempted to go into the defensive backfield, I decided to revert back to the old adage, you know, starts in the trenches. I'm going to pick a defensive lineman or an edge rusher over a cornerback that early. I think, you know, you can pair a great line with a mediocre defensive backfield like we did in the last two Super Bowls for the most part. I mean, well, actually more so in 2011 than 2007, but you know, no offense to James Butler, but like he was our safety in one of those Super Bowls and he was not very good, but it was because we rushed the passer so well, it didn't matter. So, yeah, would I like someone like TJ Tampa in the second round? Yes, but it feels like a luxury, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. No, I think we need a cornerback pretty badly.
For sure. Absolutely. I agree with that.
But the way I've been approaching the second round is, again, trying to get the best offensive lineman or wide receiver generally, because I feel like that's where the highest caliber players are this draft. Mm-hmm. And usually, almost always, getting either a safety or cornerback with the third pick.
Yeah.
Again, it's been hard to say no to some of these D tackles, but I don't know. Our offense has been horrendous for far too long. We need some sort of excitement, some sort of blood. I think Jalin Hyatt paired with someone more intermediate at wide receiver is going to be really cool. But there's no one that I think brings the edge you need to make a significant difference on either defense or offense outside of wide receiver in the second round.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see some defensive interior. Braden Fisk from Florida State, I think, would be a really good pickup.
I'd be psyched on him.
I think, you know, I've seen Chop Robinson fall. I mean, if he's there at that point, I think.
Well, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I think there are other edge rushers as well that I think you could go for. I'm not against. I totally agree, Dan. Like, the offense has just been so bad. But I think, you know, having the defensive depth and, you know, bringing in guys that can rush the passer or, you know, cover and help our pass rusher succeed. It's going to be lead to more success, I think.
Yeah.
Especially with a new defensive coordinator, you know, give him some toys, let him
I guess I was assuming we had a quarterback in the first round. Like, if we drafted
number one
wide receiver, then I clearly that doesn't matter.
What I mean. I think the first round will dictate the rest of the draft, and I know that
it's hard to say.
It's easy to say, like, right sitting here like this, but I feel like in comparison to drafts like recent past, it has to. I think it, like, their plan runs through the first round.
I'd definitely go offensive line or cornerback if we have a wide receiver in the first round.
Alright, let's kill it there. We've been going on for too long. So we'll get back next week or the week after. We'll talk about the next picks, and then before the draft we'll do our annual mock. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out ButcherBox.com, Big Blue United, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, DBU Pod Boys, the Z on Twitter, and we'll see you next time.
Peace, Phoenixes.